Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Welcome to London, to Soho and to Golden Square, just off Regent Street near Piccadilly Circus. I'm Trevor Dann and this is the first Radio Today programme OB. Now I'm here to try and find a couple of top radio pundits who can help us unravel the likely consequences of Barrow Media's purchase of Absolute Radio and what might happen to their famous One Golden Square HQ, which is over there to my right. I've been told that if I root around here amidst these cans of special brew, the old newspapers and the soiled sleeping bags, I'll find just what I'm looking for, and here they are. Radio commentator Paul Robinson and futurologist James Cridlin. James, how
Greetings.
Are you?
I'm very good.
Paul, it's a bit damper than we'd like.
It's a bit damper, but at least it's the OB and I'm enjoying the open air, and the park bench is very comfortable, even a bit damp on the bum.
Yeah, and I love your caravan and it's
marvellous.
I'm going to be buying my Trevor Dann t-shirts later.
The beanie hats will be unveiled shortly.
Fantastic.
Now, on a more serious basis, James, you spent many years in that building over there, didn't you, when it was Virgin?
Yes.
Happy memories?
Yes, absolutely. You know, 6 years of working at Virgin Radio, and a tremendous place to work for. And I think possibly not the happiest for the entire company, but certainly for me personally, a really enjoyable experience.
Yeah. It has always, hasn't it, whether it was Virgin or Absolute, had a bit of a history of being innovative and imaginative. It's had some big ideas.
It has, and I think it's a good radio station now. In fact, probably it's never quite got the recognition it deserves, either critically or in terms of audience figures. I mean, we'll probably talk about that later, but I remember standing here when I was at Radio 1 in 1993, before Virgin Radio launched, and in the west corner of Golden Square we are now, Virgin Radio is in the northeast corner, there was this huge Radio 1 poster that then controller of Radio 1 decided to erect, because we were very, very worried with Richard Skinner and John Revel and Tommy Vance and all these guys about to launch on Virgin 1215. We needn't have worried, but it was a real panicky moment at Radio 1 at that point.
How classy to have a big poster in the square.
It was very Johnny Billing, the controller of the day.
So, we're really here, aren't we, to talk about the fact that Bauer, after a very long courtship, have taken over Absolute. How do you see the next few weeks and months, James?
Well, I think the next few weeks will be them waiting for Ofcom to say yes or no, and one would assume that there's no particular issues in terms of that. In terms of the next couple of months, well, I think it's interesting. I think that Bauer, they'll have done a pretty thorough job in terms of knowing what it is that they've bought, but I don't think that they've necessarily, of course, been able to talk to as many people as they want, been able to really dive deeply into what makes Golden Square a fantastic place to work in. And I think taking some of the ethos of Golden Square, some of what makes that tick, will be very important for Bauer as they move forward.
Do you think there'll be some kind of culture clash, Paul?
Well, I mean, you mentioned Golden Square. I mean, at the moment, Bauer, in theory, once disclosed, will have three buildings in London. I can't see them continuing with three buildings. So, you know, one's going to go, I'm absolutely sure, and it might be this one. So this might be the end of broadcasting from Golden Square. I think James makes a really interesting point, and that is there are a bunch of very skilled people in this business, and this obviously is a takeover, but a buyout, but hopefully they'll retain some of those skills, because I think there's skills in this building which are complementary to those at Bauer, particularly when it comes to branded content, digital, you know, commercial exploitation. Absolute and Virgin have been very skillful, possibly leaders in many ways in radio. And I hope they don't actually lose all of that.
Will the word Absolute survive, James, or will it become Planet Rock or Kerrang or something else?
Well, I mean, I think, firstly, Planet Rock and Kerrang have bits of Absolute Radio in them, but they are very different. And so certainly reading both the Golden Square blog and the Bauer blog, being very clear that the Absolute brand will continue.
But they kind of would say that, wouldn't they, at this stage?
Of course they would say that, but I think also when you look at what Planet Rock is, Planet Rock is Absolute classic rock. I can't see much of a future for that particular station. But Absolute Radio as a whole, Absolute 80s in particular, which is tremendously successful in terms of its audience figures, it's the most listened to DAB specific station here in the UK. You know, I would see it difficult for Bauer to instantly rebrand that. And we shouldn't also forget that actually the Absolute Radio brand is a very interesting one in that it's very flexible. You can have Absolute Jazz, you can have Absolute Chill, you can have, you know, Absolute Cream if you want a cream related radio station, if you
so
wish.
I know you'd listen to a lot for those drum solos.
Indeed. But you know, so you can actually do an awful lot with it. And I think what's interesting is, you know, the Absolute brand really stands for guitar based music. Bauer has a really good brand which is for dance and electronica in terms of KISS, and I think KISS and Absolute do fairly well fit together. It's also a brand that Bauer Media will own for themselves rather than necessarily sharing it with a magazine, sharing it with other interests that haven't historically worked particularly well for them.
I think it's interesting. Absolute as a brand, you know, is sort of a brand, but it isn't in a way. I mean, I do think Absolute probably hasn't done this company any favours in terms of its radar figures. I'm absolutely sure that had it been called Virgin, the numbers would have been larger. But James is absolutely right. Absolute 80s is a big station. It's roughly the same sort of size as Planet Rock with about 6 million hours. The challenge is that it's not just about Absolute Radio, the original station, which obviously has got fewer hours than the original station, but as a group, there are more hours now than there were 10 years ago. And so you've got, you know, four brands really with decent audiences, and you don't want to throw those away. They're going to obviously have to look at cost base, and clearly there's a lot of digital capacity being used there, and they'll be looking at whether they can rationalize that. But at the same time, you don't want to buy a whole load of hours and then not make value out of those. I think also there's something I think that's in Kerrang that's interesting here, in that in the West Midlands and driving down the M6 as I did at the weekend, it's really strange hearing Kerrang on FM in the West Midlands. But Kerrang, I think, did scare the horses. By that I mean the advertisers, and Planet Rock doesn't. And the trick's going to be whether they can actually drive more revenue out of these combined brands. It puts Bauer in a good position. I mean, Bauer is now not as far behind Global as it would have been had they not made this acquisition. I think without this, Bauer would have looked considerably smaller and a poor second to Global. They're now not as big, but they're closer. And they'll use that to leverage more advertising out of the market. And that must be key, I think, to the value here. So they're going to be looking to cut costs. They will be losing people. They will lose buildings, but hopefully they'll keep the core of it. But I think the real trick is how they rationalise those brands and drive more revenue through them.
More consolidation to come, is there, James?
I think it's interesting when you have a look at what some people have been saying. There have been two announcements very, very recently. One of them has been Bauer and Absolute, and the other one has been an expansion for the Jack brand. Now, Clive Dickens is a bright and clever man, and I suspect that what Clive might be thinking is, if Bauer come in and they go, we're paying an awful lot for a lot of this DAB capacity all over the country for small stations like Absolute 70s and Absolute 60s, and we don't want that anymore, well, Clive, if he's clever, will already have done that deal to take Absolute 60s and 70s off and put Jack on there. And I think that it's very interesting seeing those two announcements very, very close. Now, I've no idea, but I find it interesting.
Does any of this, Paul, help consumer choice? Does any of it actually matter to the listener, or is it just about shareholders and profits?
Well, commercial radio is a business, and commercial radio has to make money. But at the end of the day, if there's no one listening, there's no business. You know, show business, the show comes first, and then you make the business out of it. I don't think listeners care a hoop who actually owns these stations. What they care about is what they sound like and what they actually do. And what's interesting is a lot of blogs actually saying, please keep Absolute Radio the same, please don't change anything, we love it. And look, it is a good radio station. The reality is, sadly, it will change. I mean, no one buys something to keep it the same. There will be changes. The question is, how big and how dramatic.
It's a very soggy Radio Today programme from Golden Square.
Speak for yourself.
More from Paul and James after this week's news with Radio Today's editor Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme.
And the top stories this week. Smash Hits Radio has come to an underwhelming end on Freeview. It's been replaced by KISS Fresh. Smash Hits started life 11 years ago on digital radio on many different platforms and has always had around 1 million listeners. Quite an achievement for DAB only back in the day. Talking of KISS, the London FM output has now attracted over 2 million listeners for the first time in last week's Rajar, getting very close to Capital FM, which has the most commercial listeners in London this time round. MD for Bauer Radio in London, Steve Parkinson, is quite pleased, but he says it's not necessarily Capital that he's after.
If we happen to beat Capital, or, you know, as we're giving Radio 1 a really good run for the money in London, then all the better. it's great that we're making a bigger lead over Radio 1 in London. Commercials should have the BBC more in its sights than eating each other.
And there's a new app for iOS users featuring Alan Partridge. Have a read of my short review on the website. And if you do feel like spending 99 pence on this quirky little thing, then go ahead. You might just like it. And that's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Alan Partridge.
The Radio Today programme.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audioboo, sharing voices with the world.
Thank you, Roy. Still to come, David Lloyd's radio moments and a fine piece of poetry about a radio legend. But back here in Golden Square, James Cridland and Paul Robinson have got their notebooks out. Well, at least their iPhones. Oh, no, you have actually an analogue notebook.
I like a notebook, yes.
I'm liking it.
I like analogue.
Have you seen this Ofcom report about small-scale DAB stations, James?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit about it. I think it's interesting that Ofcom have been essentially running a very cheap, small DAB transmitter in Brighton, doing a couple of things with it. Firstly, running DAB Plus on it, which I thought was interesting, but also secondly, working out whether a small, very cheap DAB transmitter can be a viable alternative for some of the radio stations that otherwise might be stuck on FM.
In case you're thinking it's a bad signal this week, this is in fact rain.
It is precipitating quite hard.
We're under a nice tree, aren't we? So that'll be okay until the lightning comes. Your thoughts on that, Paul?
Well, I think it's a bit odd in a way that radio might be on two frequencies. Well, obviously, it used to be FM, AM. I mean, you know, DAB and FM. FM sounded like second best. If we could all be on DAB, it'd be so much easier and so much simpler. So it's all about affordability and whether you can make this work for small stations with very small revenue bases. So, you know, I'm sure technologically it can be achieved. If it works financially as a business, then absolutely bring it on.
I mean, my concern with keeping half of the radio stations on DAB and then the other half on FM is if I was a pirate radio station, I'd be rubbing my hands together with glee, thinking, gosh, I've got all this extra frequencies that I can broadcast stuff on. And actually, when you have a look at what Ofcom have been doing in terms of closing down pirate radio stations, they've been closing down less and less every single year. So I think that's a real concern, and it's not something that I've seen mentioned at all by any of the relevant groups so far. And I think that, you know, if we're not careful, we might be sleepwalking into an FM dial which is full of unlicensed broadcasts who may well get very high audiences as a result.
While I've got you, and before we all float away, any highlights from Ray Jar you'd like to pick out, Paul?
Well, very good for Radio 2. My goodness me. I mean, I think the big question for commercial radio is, when is Radio 2 going to stop growing? It seems like it's continuing to grow. I know Evans was held back to a mere 9.75 million listeners this time round, but it is extraordinary. I mean, overall, everyone did okay, but I think commercial radio has got to think very carefully about its content strategy because, you know, commercial radio is going one way, BBC is going the other way, and Radio 2 seems to be mopping up people like some sort of black hole sucking in audiences.
I continue to be a bit worried about total time spent listening, particularly with younger audiences. It's lovely seeing all of the figures going up, but actually the trends for time spent listening is going severely down, and it concerns me for our younger audiences what the future of those people is going to be.
It's traditional for me to ask you what you've been listening to. So who wants to go first?
Well, I was in the Northwest over the weekend, so I listened to Key 103, which I haven't heard for a long, long time. And Key 103 is a really good little rocking Manchester radio station. I enjoyed it. I heard about 7 or 8 hours, and it was just, you know, back-to-back music, but the links were really good. I mean, you really felt like you were in Manchester. And I remember the days of...
It feels,
you know,
like we're in Manchester now.
Well, it's certainly, well, more like Mumbai, actually, yeah. I would say, than Manchester. Yeah. But no, Key 103, really good. The other thing was, I tuned in by accident to David Prever on Smooth this morning rather than Simon Bates, and I thought, wow, he's doing a really good job. I mean, Bates, hard to dep for. David sounding very solid and very confident.
I was out in the garden over the weekend cutting down bits of tree and things, and I was listening to Radio 4, and I think one of the lovely things about Radio 4 is you never quite know what's going to happen next. And I was listening to The World at One, followed by a really enlightening programme all about the US food aid and apparently how the US food aid has meant that lots more heroin in the world. Absolutely fascinating stuff, and I guess we forget sometimes the benefit of just turning on the radio and seeing what comes out. So I really enjoyed that over the weekend.
Albeit the heroin is clearly slightly worrying, James, I
yes,
guess.
Indeed.
There's so much more of it to round.
Right, can I add one of my own? Is that all right? I don't know whether you know, but it was announced that James Alexander Gordon, the voice of Sports Report, was having to step down after his illness. And to celebrate his achievement, Ian McMillan, the Bard of Barnsley, was invited to write a poem. So after we've heard a little clip of Jag, as he was always known, here's Ian's wonderful poem.
Kilmarnock 1, Aberdeen 1, St Mirren 0, Inverness Caledonian Thistle 1.
Here is a man who gives music to a home win, an epic quality to a 0-0 draw. Here is a voice to encapsulate the magic of 4-5-5, East 5-4. This is a time when the world stops turning, a moment when numbers can soothe or thrill. Here is a voice for wonder and yearning, your team 3, their team 0. Football happens in a kind of frenzy, a ball in a net and a bright red card. But here's a voice to give it all perspective, when winning's marvellous and losing's hard. Here's James Alexander Gordon, soothing, gentle, safe, exact, giving a hint of Shakespeare to Accrington Stanley, raising 1-1 beyond reported fact to a kind of poetry. James, we salute you. Your intonations kept our hopes alive. Now sit in your garden and dream of those tea times when East 5 got 4 and 4-5 got 5, and don't think of the nightmare it would be to relate if Torquay got 7 and Bury got 8.
Ian McMillan from Radio 5 Live Sports Week on James Alexander Gordon. Now here's David Lloyd with this week's Radio Moments. Radio
Moments! We start this week looking back 2 years, and on the 4th of August 2011, we lost Michael Bucht.
No money came in at all for nearly 4 months, and the thing was a catastrophe. Not because it wasn't working as radio, people always forget that. It was because it wasn't, the country was on its knees economically. And we went through 2 general elections in 6 months and all of that stuff. Afterwards, it came very good.
Michael Bucht, the first official programme controller of Capital in London. And he also cooked up Classic FM amongst his many achievements. Michael died 2 years ago this week. And it's now exactly 5 years since we lost another one of commercial radio's early colourful figures, the first ever MD of Beacon Radio in Wolverhampton.
And then in the hour, depending on what happens in the hour, we will come into the programming and integrate into the programming news bulletins as there is news that merits being aired.
The voice of Jay Oliver, the Californian always described as flamboyant in the days when he was launching the colourful Beacon Radio in Wolverhampton in those heady 70s days. Jay died this week in 2008. Dale Winton presented on Beacon in his early days, just as he'd done on Trent before that. And it was a warm day this week in 1977 when he made his debut on commercial radio.
Enjoy the afternoon sound on Radio Trent.
Thank you very much, Steve. Right, it's 17 minutes before 4, and I'll see you through till 5:30 with the best of music, and this was Land's record of the week for the
Dale Winton, back in his Trent days, hot foot from the Biscuit Factory, UBN. Dale's first show on commercial radio proper was this week, 36 years ago. 9th of August, 1991 now, and Smiles at Radio 3.
Let's remove the bell.
Just didn't quite get his leg over.
Anyhow, he did very well indeed, batting 131 minutes and hit 3 fours. And then we had Lewis playing extremely well for his 47 not out. Angus, do stop it. And he was joined by De Freitas, Lawrence, always entertaining, batting for 35 minutes, hit a 4 over the wicketkeepers. Angus, for goodness sake, stop it.
Jonathan Agnew and Brian Johnston on Test Match Special this week in 1991.
He hit a 4 over the wicketkeeper's head.
Staying with sport, this week in 1921, we had what's claimed to be the first ever commentary. It was play-by-play coverage of a baseball match on KDKA Pittsburgh. Harold Arlen was at the mic. I say mic, actually it was an old phone. And it was a home win, by the way, which must have cheered him up. Finally on sport, this week in 1990, sports coverage moved from Radio 2 to what was Radio 5.
Radio 2 goes racing.
Happy birthday this week to one of radio's finest communicators.
The wind through the rafters calling softly to the Ludlow. For Dear Daddy, that's Tony Quinn of Gay Show and Offley, who's a patient in Pima. family from his Yolong children, Peter, Mary, Judy, Pascal, and Anthony. And I'm to include also Aunt Molly Murphy, who's in case you're a familiar figure on this programme.
An early burst of Wogan there from RTE, actually. And Terry is 75 this week. Happy birthday. In these days of speedy broadband, it's fun to look back at the dial-up days, isn't it, when some of radio's online ideas were maybe just a touch ahead of their time. And this week, 12 years ago, GWR put Coco.com on hold. That had been their, you may remember this, their local lifestyle portal, and they said they'd concentrate instead on station websites. August is a month when offshore radio fans shed a tear as they reflect on August 1967. Most of the pirate radio stations took their last breaths that month, including this week that year, Radio 355.
To all of you who have written to me, my thanks. To all who tried to help us, the thanks of all of us. Every one of us here sends you good wishes and our hopes to be back with you someday. We'll miss you, and I hope you'll miss us.
Ted Albury from Offshore Radio 355, ending its days this week in 1967, just before it was outlawed. People feel passionately about radio and about music too, and there was evidence of that this week in 1986. 250 Gary Numan fans picketed Radio 1, demanding more airplay. Casey Kasem is a familiar name around the world. His American Top 40 was networked on hundreds of stations.
You're listening to a countdown of the most popular songs in America. My name's Casey Kasem, and the countdown rolls on.
Number 9.
From England, The Hollies, second week at number 9 with The Air That I Breathe.
This week in 88, Casey left the show after 18 years, although he was later to return. His final show made no mention of his departure, apart from the absence of these familiar words.
Join me next week.
3rd of August, 6 years ago, and GCAP combined Classic Gold and Capital Gold to become Gold.
No constraints in the music we play. If it's a great song from any genre during the last 5 decades, then you will hear it on Gold, the radio station created by the merging of the Capital Gold and Classic Gold radio network. Gold delivering the widest breadth of music currently available anywhere on commercial radio, as well as playing the greatest...
The early days of the Gold network this week in 2007. So with 5 Midlands FM stations put on the market by Global this week 5 years ago, new logos for the BBC radio stations this week 6 years ago, and Sarah Cox suggesting on Radio 1 that the Queen Mother smelt of wee this week 13 years ago, those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
Well, thank you, David, Paul, James, Roy, producer Jamie Taylor. This has been a TDC production, and one final word this week. Good luck to Martin Kellner, stalwart of BBC Leeds and Fighting Talk, who's undergoing surgery this week. We all wish you well, Martin.
We do, indeed.
And now we're going to find somewhere dry.
It is the wettest podcast I've ever done, Trevor.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.